Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
It is a blessing, a pleasure, a privilege to be with you here in Hagerstown this morning. Chrissy and I are thankful for the chance that we have to be with you and worship with you. This morning we travelled up from North Carolina yesterday, so we got to experience the joys of I-95 as we were coming up north of Richmond. So yeah, but we're here. And it is good to be here. I want to share with you a passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 9. And it was our scripture reading this morning. This is where we're going to begin. This is where we're going to end. And this is going to be kind of the format. This is a very limited time to share with you the way in which God is working in our ministry in Falkirk, Scotland. So we just have a little snapshot of time. I'm going to share with you some of the highlights, share with you some of the different ways in which we see things are moving, and the way in which God is working there in central Scotland, and the blessing that we have to be part of that. And we're thankful for your partnership with that. But in doing so, we're going to be spending some time dwelling in this passage as well, and challenging ourselves in how we live as disciples, whether that's for us in Falkirk, Scotland, whether it's for you in the Hagerstown greater area. We're going to be spending some time here this morning. So Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." It's a passage of scripture that I've seen used a lot when talking about mission work. And when people are sharing the work that they're involved in, and they're sharing the news of their harvest field, the areas in which they serve. And it's a passage in which Jesus challenges his disciples to pray fervently for something. And that's for workers to go out into that harvest field. We're gonna finish there. That's often the emphasis of this passage. We're going to finish with that. We're not going to begin with it. But really what I wanted to focus on first was in the middle. So it's verse 26. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So we'll talk a little bit about Jesus' motivation and his ministry and our motivation as we live as disciples in the world around us. But then there's also kind of a model for his ministry that we see starting there in verse 35 as well. So as he went through the towns and villages, he was teaching, and he was preaching, and he was healing. So we'll talk about that a little bit as it relates to our work a little bit more as we go through this. Our relationship here with Hagerstown goes back to, I want to say, 2007. Support-wise, 2010, but 2007 was the first time we sat in these pews and had the chance to worship with you. Chrissy's sister, Ashley, and fiancé at the time, now husband, Joel, attended here and worshipped here while they went through Shepherd University in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. So we had the chance to visit them and experience, you know, you as a congregation, and we love this church family, and we're thankful for the role that you played in their life while they were college students as well. And it's crazy to think how much has changed in the last 12 years or so in our relationship with you. We are absolutely blessed by that. In 2009, we graduated from Sunset International Bible Institute. And if you remember, there's a team that formed while we were there. Three families, so ourselves, my wife and I, the Vicks, the Chapel family and the Aaron family. And then we had two individual ladies that were on our team as well, two single ladies that were on our team, Jenny and Pamela. So that was our team. Our motivation when we went was compassion. When we think about Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 there, and the compassion that Jesus had when he saw the crowds, right? And he looked out and he saw them, and what he felt was that compassion, and he noticed that they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, people who were astray. This picture here is Scotland's central belt. Scotland has, we were talking with our brother from India earlier, Scotland has 5.2 million people that live in our country. He has a son who lives in London. There's more people living in London than there are in all of Scotland. So in Scotland, we've got 5.2 million people that live there. The most of our population, the majority of our population, are in this box here. Scotland's Central Belt, we call it. There's over 4 million people in that area. That's about 70% of our population. And to put it in a perspective, so here's Glasgow, our largest city. It's about 1.5 million people in this area. There's Edinburgh, our capital. That's our second largest city. Roughly about 500,000 people in that urban area. And we are right here in Falkirk. We are 23 miles from Glasgow, 23 miles from Edinburgh, which puts us right in the commuter belt for our two largest cities in Scotland. And when you think about Scotland's population, over 4 million people basically live between Glasgow, Edinburgh, and this area, Falkirk, Stirling area, and then up this way to Dundee as well. And that is Scotland's central belt. And so when we had it on our heart to go back to Scotland, when you think about 5.2 million people, there are 26 congregations of the Churches of Christ throughout Scotland, throughout our country. Total, about 700 or so membership. Our average size is about 30 or so when you look at our congregations. And so as Chrissy and I were here in the States, I'm from Scotland originally, obviously I didn't just pick up the accent in a couple of years. As we sat here in congregations in the States, we had this on our heart because it was compassion for a people, my people, our people. And it was compassion that led that team to form back in 2008, 2009 as it was forming, and then to go on the field in 2010. And so when we were looking at Scotland, we were looking at different areas that we could go to. Glasgow, Edinburgh have congregations, Stirling area has congregations, and this was where we really had on our heart. Welcome to Falkirk, scenic Falkirk, Scotland. So as I mentioned earlier, we're right in the heart of the commuter belt. Falkirk is actually quite similar to Hagerstown in that 39,000 people live here when you look at your city limits. Same size. We're exactly the same size if you look at your 2010 census data. 39,000. But like Hagerstown, it's part of a larger metropolitan area. You're a wee bit larger than us. You're about 250,000 in this area. Falkirk, 39,000, but is in an urban area of about 100,000 or so. It puts us in the top 10 urban areas in Scotland. And it's one of the fastest growing areas as well because, as I mentioned earlier, we're 23 miles from our largest city and we're 23 miles from our capital, our two largest cities. So we're right in the middle of it. And so it's growing rapidly, it's growing quickly, and it's one of the areas where we really address the need. And when you look at the top 10 urban areas in Scotland, this was one of the larger ones that had no known work of the Churches of Christ. And so when we came across, we worked with a congregation in Stirling, which was just up the road, about 20 miles up the road from us. And there was a congregation there with an eldership there who had a vision and a heart, like verse 36 that we looked at there with Jesus, the compassion and looking at sheep without a shepherd, helpless. The eldership in Stirling looked down the road to Falkirk and said, how can we impact that city? There is no congregation there. What can we do? And so when we contacted them, they were with open arms, ready for our team to come in, work with us in partnership with an eldership of a congregation on the field already to help us plant a congregation in Falkirk. So when we first presented to you and first shared this with you, this was all just, it was numbers and figures. It was census data. It was a town that we hadn't, you know, first lived in yet. And that last picture did not come up. But when we went over with the motivation there, the emphasis on our ministry, kind of we see come from this summary that we see here in verse 35. Preaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, depends what your translation says there. Teaching and healing. Now I'm going to talk about that a little bit further. Don't start to sweat. We'll talk about that as we get into it. But when we arrived, we worked with the congregation in Stirling on a Sunday morning, helped them with some of their evangelism, their outreach efforts. But really, it was a chance for us to have a church family supporting us while we were reaching out to a city that had no work yet. And so we began in our homes. We began in our living rooms, in our apartments. And so we had our three team families and then our two single ladies. So there's four four homes that we were in, and we would rotate. So pretty early on, as we started to make contacts, as we started to reach out, and as we started to get to know people, this was what our pictures were starting to look like in our homes. A Scottish living room is pretty compact. It's small, gets pretty sweaty pretty quickly. And so as we started to grow out of our living room space, we were blessed in 2013 to be here. So this is the Ettrick Dockert Community Hall. This area here of Hall Glen that you see, this community centre is right in the middle of this area, this neighbourhood. And it's one of the areas that has been identified kind of on a social deprivation scale as being one of the areas that's most in need in our city. And it's actually up there for many of the areas in Scotland. So when we were prayerfully looking at a place where we could worship, we were also looking at a place, where can we have an impact? Where can we reach out and help the community around us? So once we began meeting there, I was able to join the kind of the management committee. And by the relationship that we have there, we've been able to really have our finger on the pulse on just some of the different needs in the area. It's helped us as a church to be able to look out and say, how can we help with this food situation? How can we help with this furniture situation? How can we help from a benevolence standpoint here? Helps us meet a physical need as well as a spiritual need in the community around us. So since 2013, this is where we've been preaching and proclaiming in a little community centre, the Ettrick Dockert Community Hall, on a Sunday. And as a result, 2010, I couldn't have showed you these pictures. These are your brethren in Falkirk, Scotland. This is the Falkirk Church of Christ. And so on a Sunday morning, we'll have probably 20 to 25, sometimes upwards to 30. On a Sunday evening, we have about 40 to 50. We double. I don't know many congregations globally that double in size on a Sunday night. Usually you half or then some. But we increase in size. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But we have the opportunity each week to gather with the gospel is proclaimed and preached. And as we meet on a Sunday morning, we have a class format on a Sunday night, different contexts, different ways that we're able to do it. But I'm thankful for our brethren there that are preaching and proclaiming that we're working alongside with as they preach and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And it's still going on. We're here for 7 weeks. And our brothers are taking on the preaching responsibilities, and there's many capable preachers and teachers that we've been working with over these last 10 years, and so that we're at a point where we're able to come across for a good amount of time in the summer to have a chance to update our supporters. But on top of that, there's the different context. As Jesus went, he was proclaiming and preaching, but he was teaching as well. We're going to look at some passages when we tie things together at the end that kind of look at some of the differences in that. But ultimately, we've got many different contexts in our work, in our ministry, in which we delve into the Word of God together. Some of it's in our homes. So we began in our homes, we began in our living rooms, and we still have a home element because it was a special relationship that forms when you're sitting in a circle in somebody's living room studying the Word of God together. So midweek, we're not able to get the community centre. So midweek, we continue to meet in our homes and we just rotate that around our different members. Our children's ministry has been such a massive point of encouragement for us when we think about it. On a Sunday evening, we're going to show some slides that kind of talk about our Sunday school format a little bit. On a Sunday evening, we can have as many as 25 kids along with us. That's about 70% of our congregation are under the age of 18, which is pretty awesome when we look to the future and we look at our responsibility and our role to help bring children up in the way of the Lord. And it's been such a joy for our kids. So we've got Millie and Murray there on the left. Millie's 6, Murray's 4. And to see them actively involved and have kids together that they're coming up in the Lord with is a blessing. Church that I grew up in Scotland, it was me and my sisters and one other family that lived about 20 miles away. That was our youth group. And so this is an answered prayer on many levels when we think about the involvement. So you see Millie and Murray there with the Ola Balade family. So that's a family that originally came from Lagos, Nigeria. And a number of years ago when we first arrived, we kind of speak English in Scotland, right? So we did this, it was like a short-term mission trip where people came over and they were teaching conversational English through the Bible. And people were like, well, why are you going to do that in Scotland? We all speak English. I'm like, well, absolutely we do. But there's people that live in our communities that don't. And they're trying to improve their skills in English. And so it gave us a chance to connect with this family, the Ola Baladis, as they had just moved in from Lagos, Nigeria. And we studied with their mum, Elizabeth, and you've got the four kids. So you've got Daniel, Cornelius, Enoch, and Dorcas, which are very good scriptural names if you think about that. But they don't really speak English. They speak Scottish now, which is pretty cool when we're hanging about Daniel and Cornelius and they've got Scottish accents. But yeah, so our family have loved, our kids have loved just being able to be part of a group of people from all different backgrounds that are growing together in our children's ministry. And it's got a lot of benefits that come from it. Our format, Steve Shannon was asking us, what does our Sunday look like? Our format might look a little bit different, but it kind of looks pretty similar as well. We are not able to get our hall for a class on a Sunday morning, so we have just our worship service together. Now, we do what you do. We pull the little ones out and have kind of our wee Bible hour and our kids' class and our kids' training during our sermon time. But we really kind of prayed, how can we have some time where we've got a class format? So our Sunday evening is our Sunday school program is what we call it. It's our Bible study format. We begin at 5:30 on a Sunday night, and we finish around 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. It's a long evening. And as I mentioned before, we have about double our attendance. We have 40 to 50 sometimes on a Sunday night. And when we first meet, we have three different kids' classes that are going on at the same time. So this is all of our elementary school age kids. And so we're just, from a congregation standpoint, able to keep that going. Our team left, I neglected to mention that earlier, our team left about 4 years ago and came back to the States in stages over time, and Chrissy and I have remained in Falkirk working with the congregation. So our brethren, our brothers and sisters are able to keep this going with the classes, which is part of why we structure it the way we do. So we have our three kids' classes running simultaneously, and for a long time we had a number of kids that came in from the community that were just kids running around in the streets, causing trouble. And we invited them in, we spoke to their parents were okay with it, and they came in and started being part of our Sunday school program. That helped us realize we needed to meet a physical need as well as a spiritual need. So when we're done with our class, all of our kids gather together and we have a meal. So we have a meal with our children. And while that's going on, our adults and our teen class meet upstairs. So we've got all these different classes going on at the same time. And then once we're done, we come back and have that chance to worship with one another and have the Lord's Supper with one another and have communion. So that's our format. It works for us, but it is a blessing beyond measure when we think about it. But our children's ministry is more than just in reach, for want of a better term. It's an opportunity for outreach as well. And each year it varies. It depends. It's not always summer. Sometimes it's October or fall break. But each year as a congregation, just with what resources we have in-house, we try and do some outreach stuff with our kids, because they are reaching out and sharing with their friends and talking to their friends about God, talking to their friends about Jesus. And it gives us a chance to bring people in. So this was from our last summer's VBS, where we talked about superheroes of the faith. And it gave us a chance to kind of look at that. And we had about 45 to 50 kids come along, and it was just a one-day intensive, because that's all we could do. That's all we could get the community center for, but a one-day intensive holiday Bible school. And some of those kids are from Millie's class. She brought some of her classmates along with some others from other congregations to kind of encourage them as well. And it was such a blessing, indeed. When we went through Sunset, the ministry training school out in Lubbock, Chrissy went through the full program with me. So she went through the full ministry training program, and we went through the whole, studied the word completely together as a couple. And one of the things we were praying about when we got onto the field is how she could use that in her context to minister and to serve. And there's three ways and then some that she's really been able to use that Bible training and that time study in the Word to really kind of help with our kingdom work there in Scotland. One of them is a weekly women's Bible study that they do in a coffee shop. So it's there in Falkirk Town Centre. And so each week, a number of women from throughout Falkirk, some from other congregations from elsewhere, come and gather in that coffee shop and they study together. And Chrissy, or one of the other ladies, Donna, depending on who does it, leads them through that study. This is another one which is a really cool opportunity, and it's done either through email daily or Facebook daily. And it's a group that she was kind of integral in starting called Soul Sisters. It's a daily Bible study where she works through a text. It's an exegetical study where she works through a text with a group of women worldwide who study with her. Almost 200 members, as you see there in that Soul Sisters group, on the Facebook group alone, and there's also an email study as well. And so as she puts these studies together, she mails it out, and it gives a chance for people to have questions and feedback and dialogue, and they then communicate. So it began with a few ladies in Scotland, stretched to a few ladies in England, came over here, a number of ladies in the States, some ladies from Canada, a couple ladies from the Philippines, and it's just growing and growing and growing, and it's a chance for her each day to work through a passage and share that with people, which is a really, really cool. So if ladies, if you want to get involved in that, chat with Chrissy. She'll take your details, and she'll be happy to get you involved in that if you want to study with other people globally and work through a text together. And the last one is, it's usually in fall, September or October. It's a ladies' retreat that they began called the Field of Refuge Retreat, where you get people from throughout the UK who gather in, well, just have a chance to go to kind of a retreat center and spend a whole weekend in the Word together. And it is deep study as she works through. She's built a curriculum around it. Each year that curriculum changes. And it's a chance to really spend that time strengthening their relationships with one another. And it has absolutely benefited our ladies for the kingdom throughout the UK, England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and even some come from the States. So ladies, if you fancy a trip to Scotland for a retreat, again, speak to her. You might be up for that. We might be able to make that happen. But yeah, I'm thankful for the seeds that Chrissy is planting and the growth that comes from that as God gives the increase. I've shared this with you in before, but one of the things that we'd been praying about was, how can we go from inside to outside sharing the Word? And one of the ways in which we've been blessed to do so, and it's just kind of grown, is through our coffee shop Bible studies, which we advertise through this group called Meetup, which is just a social networking app on your phone. And so as a result, regularly, it was when we had a team and we were able to go all these different places, it was all over the place. As a result, regularly, we were able to study the Bible with people who just come with Bibles open, ready to study. In Glasgow, our largest city, I'm personally involved with that one. In Falkirk, where we live, again, I'm involved in that one. And then we've got two other places, Cumbernauld and Perth, where other members of other congregations there have taken that on and started it kind of under our umbrella. And I mention that because that has a knock-on effect to this next story. And so each week we work through the text with one another. We choose a book and we study through the book together. And we've got a core group of regulars who come along in Falkirk. That's where the picture on the left, picture in the middle is. This is the coffee shop that we've been kind of using as a base for our ministry for a number of years now in Falkirk. And in Glasgow, it's a larger coffee shop as well. I wanted to be praying for that ministry because it's a chance where we have people come from all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different baggage and hang-ups, but they come with a Bible open already to study the Word of God. Much of what we do in our day-to-day life is building contacts with people in the community and reaching out in a way that we can actually get to the point where we're studying the Bible with people. Sometimes that takes a long time to happen. Sometimes it hasn't yet, and we're praying for those opportunities. But here, people are already coming with Bible open saying, let's study. And so we're thankful and we're blessed by that. And I mentioned that there's a few other congregations that have kind of taken it on and are doing the same sort of thing. In Perth, Scotland, which is about 40 minutes from us, so it's further north, Scott, who works with the church there, has been doing it for a number of years, and he was sitting in Starbucks with his little meetup sign, and it was a group of people were studying, And there was a guy there by the name of Andy, this was last year, who saw them. And he thought, these are some dudes studying the Bible in a coffee shop. What's going on with that? But he didn't, as he says, he didn't have the courage to just go up and start talking to them. He felt a little bit awkward about it, but he researched it. So he jumped on Meetup, or he Googled coffee shop Bible study Perth, and he found that Meetup page. And through that Meetup page, he then found my name. So then he kind of Facebook stalked me and found me on Facebook. And I got this random message last year from Andy saying, hey, I'm kind of interested in studying the Bible with somebody. Do you know anybody who'd be willing to do that? And I'm like, right here, man. Let's grab a coffee and let's have a chance to chat. So Andy lives here in Dunfermline. I live here in Falkirk. It's about a 40-minute drive. Edinburgh's right here. Andy lives in Dunfermline. He works in Perth, which is up here. And so it was when he was at work on his lunch hour that he saw this study. So each week, try and make it weekly as much as possible, regularly, I go from Falkirk over to Dunfermline to study with Andy in his home. And what I love about this is that it's rarely just Andy that I'm studying with. He's on fire. Be praying for him, please. Because he's wanting to grow in his walk. And he's on fire for studying. And he gets his friends involved with it. And so he just tells people, hey, I'm studying the Bible with this guy from Falkirk. Are you interested in coming along? And regularly, there's three or four of us in Andy's living room studying the Bible. That got me the chance to meet Zach. So this is his buddy, Zach. And Zach and his fiancée, Emma, who's from Australia, I'm actually doing their wedding next week. Well, not next week. Yeah, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks from now, when I return back to Scotland. So all of that has come just contacts and relationships through somebody seeing a sign on a table while they were buying a coffee, and they recognised here's people studying the Bible together in a context that they don't usually see in the UK. We think about our churches are our place for studying the Bible or whatever, but when you see it in a public place, it stands out and it's made an impact, and it's given us the opportunity then to have a study in a different city and try and impact a different city. And I don't know what's going to happen in Dunfermline. This might be another opportunity for another church plant, you know, in the very near future, or for something to start happening there in Andy's living room as disciples gather together and people start growing. We really don't know what's going to happen from that, but we're excited and we're blessed to think that a random guy in his 30s saw this group of people studying the Bible, and he had the, you know, He had the chance to then study it and research it, and came across us as a result. So we're preaching, proclaiming in Falkirk, and we're teaching. And that teaching might be with our kids, it might be in a Bible class format, it might be in our homes, or it might be in a coffee shop. But we're preaching and we're teaching. And that brings me to the last one, when I think about the way in which Jesus reached out. When you come into contact with Jesus and you see throughout the Gospels, restoration happens. And restoration is still happening today. And I'm not talking about supernatural healing or anything like that. But what I'm talking about is transformation of lives as people come in contact with Jesus Christ. And as they give their life over to him in discipleship and make him Lord of their life. And I look at the healing from a standpoint of restoration and transformation that has taken place in Falkirk through the Falkirk Church of Christ, and it encourages me and it challenges me regularly and it excites me prayerfully as I think about the ways in which people are growing. And just even some of our stories and the people that are there with us as brothers and sisters in Christ, and I can share some, and they have no problem with me sharing some, and they share it themselves. Top right is Marjorie, a lady, so right here. Marjorie's from Belfast, Northern Ireland. Grew up in Belfast in the 60s and 70s. And if you know anything about Belfast in the 60s and 70s, it was a war zone, right? Belfast was literally a war zone. The IRA were doing their thing. Marjorie has memories of her windows being blown out with explosions from different bombs and stuff. So she grew up in a pretty rough part of the world at that time. From a family context that religion was just kind of a family heritage thing. So whether or not they claimed to be Protestant or whether or not they claimed to be Catholic, it wasn't a vibrant faith that she was growing up in, right? It wasn't a household of faith. It was a household that claimed something, but didn't live it. Then she had the chance to visit. She was messing around in the streets and in front of a Church of Christ there, and one of the brethren said, "Why don't you come in? Instead of causing trouble, just come in." And so she did. Came in for a cup of tea, met some people, loved it, started asking questions, "What are you doing?" Started studying with them, and ended up getting to the point where she committed her life to Christ. She met a Scotsman there who was across for the British Bible School. It used to be in Belfast, it's now down in England. And they ended up moving to Scotland. And in the late 80s, early 90s, and Marjorie will freely tell you this, she made some decisions that absolutely rocked her family, rocked the church family where she was attending, and she walked away from family, from church, from the Lord, everything, just walked. And lived in a wilderness period for a long period of time. Fast forward now 20 years, and she's at a point, kind of the late aughties, probably 2008, 2009, where she's thinking, "I have messed up in so many ways, I need to get right with the Lord. I'm in this wilderness and I need to get right with the Lord." And you want to talk about repentance? She went to all of the extended family and church members from people 20 years ago and said, "I made decisions then that hurt you, and I apologize, and I want your forgiveness." She said, "I want to get right with the Lord." And talk to all of these people, house to house. You talk about that's repentance. That's not just saying sorry, but it's actually seeking people out and saying, "This is, I hurt you, and I am sorry, and I'm asking for forgiveness." And so she went around Falkirk. This was before we arrived, and was kind of church hopping. And so for her, she's like, "All right, this is the Lord's church." And so she would go to a place and she'd be like, "All right, no, that's not it." You know, and then she'd go to another place and she'd be like, "All right, yeah, they're doing this, that's cool. Ah, wait, that's not it." And so she got to a point where she never really found anywhere that looked like the Lord's church that she came to know and love in Scripture. So she was praying hard about the Lord's church meeting in Falkirk and coming. And she found somewhere that ticked most of the boxes, but not all of them. And Marjorie's little act of rebellion was she put aside, and as she laid in Prosper, put aside her collection, but she kept it in her flat. So she's like, "All right, I'm putting aside. Here's my collection, but I don't want to give it to them because they're not the Lord's church. So I'm going to just wait and pray." We got in contact with her 2012. It was when we were still kind of our home Bible studies. We just came in contact with her. And she's like, "This is an answered prayer." You want to talk about restoration in her life? And she's back now with the family of God and is on fire for God. She came and she's like, "I've been saving this for the last few years. Here's my collection." And she put it in the collection plate. It was overjoyed with it. And it's just really, really cool when we think about one person and their restoration. That's one family and one story. And our healing and restoration comes through our fellowship and our relationship as God's community of faith meets, and as they meet and live with one another principles as redeemed people, healing and restoration can happen. Again, I'm not talking supernatural, but I am talking about people's lives changing as we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, encourage one another and edify one another to live as disciples for Christ. And we are blessed to be part of that. And you are part of that too, with your partnership with us, as we see in another way. You know, when Jesus interacted with people in the community, sometimes it was physical healing that he did, but I think about like the paralytic in Mark chapter 2, for example. He healed them physically, but he said, your sins are forgiven. Because the spiritual healing was the most important thing. And as we interact with our community, that's something that we have in our heart, in our mind, with compassion in our hearts, the same motivation, as we reach out to the people around us and think, how can we get to a point where spiritual restoration and healing can happen? And it first happens just with the relationships that we're building and having a chance to plant some seeds in people's lives. Scotland is increasingly a secular society. When you look at our country as a whole, in the face of it, it's changing more and more. And you hear phrases being kicked around when we talk about Western Europe, about things like a post-Christian society. People are becoming further and further away from the Lord, further and further away from God. sound familiar? Because I think you're seeing it here in the States as well. But what I want to emphasize is that in the midst of that, because it's true, it is a very secular world in which we live in Scotland. But in the midst of that, God is still working. And people are still seeking. And people are still searching. We just need to get in touch with them. Top right, all of those people in that picture, this was a barbecue that we had in our back garden just a couple of months ago. They're all staff at the coffee shop that we've been doing our coffee shop Bible studies in for the last 4 or 5 years. And they've watched us study the Bible with people in their establishment, just studying. And they've noticed something different. Because in their mind, they hear Christianity and they think, you know, the collars and the robes and the cathedrals, and that's what they think, right? But what they saw was something different. People serious about their faith, living their faith, studying with people in their coffee shop. And it's led to some amazing conversations because they see it as something different. And so we sat there in our back garden, most of them, their early 20s, university students, who are from backgrounds where there was no, you know, church talked about. There was no, you know, Christianity in place. They might know a few things about it, but there's not much that they knew. And yet they're in there in our garden at 21, 22, 23 years old, asking questions about church, asking questions about God, asking questions about faith. And when these guys have had something come up in their lives, it's Chrissy and I that they're talking to, just because they know that we can, you know, talk to them about these things. And it all comes through exposure, community contacts. And I really feel that we need to kind of heal in our relationship with the community, recognizing that we are the redeemed people of God and we look differently, but using that in a way to reach out rather than to maybe build walls. And for many years, the religious community in the UK has been building walls and been saying, this is where we're in our cathedral. And we have the chance to be more exposed and be out living as disciples and showing people true discipleship and true faith when it comes to it. We're blessed beyond measure. We're blessed with our relationship with you. And we're thankful for our relationship with you because it gives us the chance to do. This is a snapshot of some of the things that we're doing in Scotland. But it gives us the chance to serve and be able to do it. That's our cheesy family photo, but we love it because it makes us laugh and it makes us smile. But it just also reminds us of joy and thankfulness. Paul, when he shared with the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1 through 3 through 6, he has this prayer for them. And Paul had a special relationship with them. He planted the church in Philippi, but as he then went out down to Athens and down into Corinth, the church in Philippi were involved, you know, financial support in his work as well. And that leads to this prayer. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that the Vic family pray that prayer about you here in Hagerstown. And we do. You've been with us since the beginning, since we went over to Scotland. And we prayerfully are thankful for you and we remember you fondly and think of you and pray for you constantly. This is our slide on the what can you do. And really, ultimately, as people ask us that, it's stay connected. Stay in touch with what we're up to. We have our email newsletters that go out, and on those we have a specific prayer requests. But things like Facebook and Instagram make the world a lot smaller place. And we're able to kind of share just snapshots of our daily life, our family life, our ministry. But continue to bathe us in prayer, please. The people of Central Scotland that we're around, the Falkirk Church of Christ, our brothers and sisters there, and then our specific newsletter prayer requests. I began in Matthew chapter 9. And I'm going to finish in Matthew chapter 9 as well. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We've shared how we kind of model our ministry around that. But I want to challenge you as well. I want you to look at the world around you like Jesus looked at the world around him in verse 36. I've been frustrated at times lately as I jump on social media and things like that. I kind of feel like it's becoming more anti-social media than social media over the years. But when I look at some of the dialogues that are taking place, it's become very much like us versus them. And sometimes we can get really frustrated when the world does what the world does and thinks differently than we do about stuff. It's the world that does. It thinks differently. Let's look at them with compassion, like sheep without a shepherd, and reach out with that as motivation in our heart, with compassion. We challenge ourselves regularly. Let that be our standard. And I've been sharing this thought with congregations as I have the chance to share the word with them. Let's look at the world around us with compassion. The crowds out there are sheep without a shepherd. And we have that chance to impact and plant seeds that can change lives. I challenge you to preach and proclaim. And sometimes our thought of that is limited to this, right? Now this is preaching and proclaiming. This is Kerusso, Kerux, the herald. We preach, we proclaim. There's different words in scripture that are used though that can be translated as preach. And it all depends on the context. One of them, I think about Acts chapter 8, as the church leaves from Jerusalem and they go out. It says that they went out preaching the good news of the kingdom, right? It's evangelizoi is the word that's used, evangelizing. It just means sharing the good news. There's other times where it's a different word that's used, and it's laleo. And that literally just means speak. Just speak. And sometimes that's all our preaching really kind of needs to be, is speaking. Some of the most effective sermons that are going to come from the Hagerstown Church of Christ, no offense to you, Richard, are not going to come from this pulpit. They're going to come from the words and the actions that you share as you live and as you disciple in the community around you, which puts it in a much wider spectrum when we think about the word going from inside to outside. So I challenge you, preach and proclaim. The other one is teach. And sometimes we can kind of draw our lines and think, well, you know, how does that look? And here's where it comes to from me. For me, not from me, for me. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a passage that the Jews call the Shema. And it's a passage that they like base their life around. It begins, you'll be familiar with it probably, Hear, O Israel, verse 4. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words I command you today shall be on your heart. We've got that part, right? Live for God. Have his words on our heart and be passionate for them. But this part, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. We got a lot of different stuff that's going on in different contexts with our teaching in Falkirk. If we're just relying on that, we're failing. The principle that we see from Deuteronomy 6 is a lifestyle. And it's the moments that you wake up, and it's the moments that you're walking on the highway, and it's the moments that you're going to work, and it's the moments that you're living life with your family and your friends and your loved ones. Teach. Teach. Make it a lifestyle. Make it all-encompassing in all of our life. And the last one is heal. And again, I want to stress, look for words of healing in life. Look for words of restoration in life. I'm not talking supernatural healing, but I am talking about the chance for people to be transformed into Christ-likeness through our interactions in the world as we share Christ with them and the restoration that Christ brings. And healing, in our context, may come from counseling friends of ours who are going through a divorce or a messy health situation. Time with people. Heal with your words. Heal with your words and look for those opportunities. To preach, teach, and heal, do so with compassion. And the last one is pray. And as Jesus urged his disciples, he says, I want you to pray for laborers to go out into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we pray that regularly for Scotland when we think about, man, 5.2 million people how can we get more people to do the work of the Lord here, right? I want you to be praying that for America. The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. I want you to be praying that for Maryland. I want you to be praying that for Hagerstown and all the different areas that you're in. Pray for laborers in the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. But I want you to know that you may also be an answer to that prayer. And so as you have a heart of compassion, and as you preach, and as you teach, and as you heal with the words and bring the restoration that Christ brings into people's lives, then that in its own right can be an answer to prayer as well, as we try and live that passage. I'm going to be quiet now because I have been speaking for too long. But I am thankful for the opportunity that we have to share our ministry in just a snapshot with you. I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have to look through Matthew chapter 9 and try and model our life around that. And I don't know where you're at today in your walk. I don't know where you're at in your walk. You may be hearing me talking about healing and restoration that comes through being in relationship with Christ, and you may think, well, I don't know what that looks like. I don't have it. I'm not in a relationship with Christ. I don't know how to do that. We're going to have a chance to sing the invitation song. If you have any questions, any questions about how to respond to the gospel, please feel free to come forward and we'll talk to you about that. If you have any prayer requests or needs, please feel free to come forward and share that with us. And our elders here in the congregation at Hagerstown will be happy to share those with you as well. I'll give you the invitation now as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear.